So as it was announced in the announcements, that Psalm 116 is the theme for the home visit season. So the consistory requested that I introduce that theme in the sermon of this morning. So let us turn to Psalm 116, page 604 in our Pew Bible, 604. Psalm 116, I love the Lord, because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 116, brothers and sisters, is a song of thanksgiving by someone who has been rescued. It's a psalm of someone who has experienced an overwhelming answer to prayer. He is a believer in Israel who has gone through a deep crisis. In the midst of it, he cried out to God, and the Lord heard him. He now overflows with thanksgiving. Psalm 116, beloved, is one of the first psalms I learned to memorize. I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. I was taught to love the Lord and to trust him because he listens to us, to what we say. Hence, it becomes a psalm that comes along with you your whole life through. Indeed, Psalm 116 is a psalm of life for God's children, starting out with a testimony of great intimacy from a believing heart, saying, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. The psalmist may have come to rest and peace when he wrote these words, but did he ever have a life with struggles and troubles? Thinking back of it, he still doesn't know or understand how he made it through. I don't think I'm saying too much when I surmise that this psalm indeed is very much written on our life at some point too. Rachel's life, particularly right now. Still, beloved, it is a song of thanksgiving, a song of praise for God's deliverance, salvation, and repeated rescues, especially when reflecting on all the occasions and troubles in the past. He and we must express our amazement over the Lord's love, His faithfulness, His nearness, and His long-suffering. This may have been in a situation of healing. It may also have been at a time when healing was not given, as in Jake's case. But the Lord gave a spirit of acceptance and peace that you did not think was possible. Perhaps it's been a prayer that you would be able to love someone who is hard to love and you didn't think you could. Yet the Lord answered in a remarkable way. Or to bear something you did not think you could, and the Lord helped you through it. What we see in this psalm, brothers and sisters, looks much like the division that structures the Heidelberg Catechism: sin and misery, deliverance and gratitude. As the Heidelberg Catechism starts out with the confession of the only comfort, so the psalmist professes his love for the Lord, his Savior. Then follows the question how we can live in the joy of this comfort, which is by knowing our sin and misery, God's deliverance, and our response of gratitude. Many a psalm shows these same features, like Psalm 130. Psalm 116 is one of the most expressive examples of it as well. That's therefore also how we will look at this psalm. The joy of the believer over the Lord's deliverances. We see his sin and misery, his deliverance, and his gratitude. So I summarize the message of our text as follows: the joy of the believer over the Lord's deliverances. We see first his sin and misery, then his deliverance, and thirdly, his gratitude. So the believer's sin and misery. When you deeply reflect on this psalm, brothers and sisters, you can sense how the psalmist's life has hung in the balance. Perhaps it was some disease or illness that brought him to the edge of death. Verse 3. The psalm also uses other images as if to show there had been more situations of misery. I was brought low, he writes in verse 6. I was exhausted, literally, so he may have suffered burnout. Verse 10 also mentions how he was greatly afflicted, which in Hebrew is the word for depression, being downcast. Of course, that could be due to illness as well, but it could well be the affliction of depression, which makes you feel hopeless. Yes, so badly that it takes away also your trust of people, which makes the psalmist explain all mankind are liars. That's a strong exclamation, perhaps. But that's how depression makes you lose all proportions. Then in verse 16, the psalmist uses the expression, "You have loosed my bonds, whose shackles thou hast broken," the rhymed version puts it. This could be a case of addiction as well, therefore. An addiction that pulls you down, makes you hit rock bottom. In short, beloved, the psalm expresses all sorts of situations of misery. Times of physical illness, emotional turmoil, or mental dependence, addiction. These are all situations of misery, stress, tension, distress, circumstances of hopelessness, helplessness, situations that we all are able to recognize and identify with. Yet, that's not all. That's not the only thing in the psalm. The psalmist was in distress and anguish, and in those moments and situations, he cried out to the Lord for the Lord to deliver him, which the Lord did. He is the Lord of our salvation. He delivers from sin and misery, from sin and all its effects and consequences. Hence he exclaims, I love the Lord because he listened to me. He heard me when I prayed. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. At this point already then, we should note as well that we too should never stop praying. We will always need to continue praying until our last breath, as we did last Monday with Jake and Rachel, and Jake still said, thank you. The psalmist too was moved to this resolution by the deliverances, the salvation the Lord granted. And so we come to his deliverance, our second point. It's against this dark background of the psalmist's misery, brothers and sisters, that this psalm becomes so joyous, expressing the light of his deliverance. The more we recognize his miserable circumstances, the greater the miracle of his deliverance becomes. Indeed, this deliverance was an answer to his calling upon the Lord, his cries for mercy. When you read the verses 4, 13, and 17, you see that he called upon the name of the Lord. That's calling upon Yahweh, the I am who I am, the I am there for you, the God of the covenant. That's how the Lord revealed himself to his people and manifested himself in many a dire circumstance. I will never leave you or forsake you, he promised. He is our Father, who is able to help us, being Almighty God, and willing also because he is our faithful Father. Indeed, the psalmist confesses the Lord in verse 5, saying, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. This is how we know him. This is how my parents experienced him, the psalmist remembers. Hence, I call upon him in that faith. We don't exactly know, beloved, what the psalmist received in terms of deliverance. Was it healing? New strength? Light at the end of the tunnel? Or deliverance from addiction? God heard him. The Lord helped him. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? He puts it in verse 12. I will lift up the cup of salvation, he says. Later on, this has become the name for one of the cups at the Passover meal. Psalm 116 became part of the Hallel, the Psalms 113 to 118 that were sung at the Passover meal in the homes. The third cup being the cup of salvation, of the deliverance the Lord gave. Well, beloved, that reminds us of our Lord's Supper. In it, we celebrate what Christ has done for us and in our place for our salvation, delivering us from sin and misery, from death and damnation. We have forgiveness of all our sins, and we have our relationship with God restored. That's what we celebrate once again this morning in the Lord's Supper. Thanks to this work of atonement, beloved, and the restoration of the relationship with the Lord, other benefits enter our life. One of the results of the Lord's answered prayer to the psalmist is peace, verse 7. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. He exhorts himself. You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. He goes on to describe the Lord's work of deliverance. He gives strength for today, glad hope for tomorrow, courage for a new week. At his table, our shackles are broken and our bonds released. It makes our life flourish in him. In the tokens of bread and wine, the Lord Jesus assures us of his hearty love toward us, a love that is so strong, as Paul puts it, that nothing can separate us from his love. At his table, the Lord assures us that his name is true, that he is with us always and will not forsake us as he forsook Jesus at the cross. Hence, we see the psalmist lifting of the cup of salvation as a foreshadowing of our celebration, a foreshadowing of Jesus' work of salvation. That's how we too express our gratitude to him today. Our third point. You know, it's the red thread running through the entire psalm, brothers and sisters, the thread of thankfulness. As we confess, gratitude is the chief part of the life of the believer. It's not just a matter of being delivered. We are delivered in order to live, to serve, and to show the Lord our gratitude for all his benefits, for all his goodness to us, to me. That's what we need to ponder too in response to the Lord's salvation of us. What did he deliver me from? From what sins? From what affliction? From what iniquity did he set me free? Does it redound to praise of thanksgiving? Does it show in our response of love to him? Is it expressed in our prayer life, in our walking with the Lord in the land of the living? The psalmist certainly is living much more consciously with the Lord. Coram Deo, in the sight of God, that is. Choosing for the Lord, trusting in the Lord, pleasing the Lord. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? The psalmist exclaims in the second part of the psalm. He loves the Lord, for he heard his voice, his cry for mercy. He loves the Lord because he loved him first. Time and again he rescued him, turned his ear to him. So thankfulness is called for. Here too we stand amazed at the Lord's love and mercy for us and for his rescue in the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ and for his many deliverances. As I said, we don't know what it has been in the psalmist's life. Illness, misery, loneliness, deadly dangers, which he expresses as snares of death and the anguish of the grave. We certainly know about trouble and sorrow, struggle and stumbling, anger, animosity and addiction that we experience. The one in this, the other in that form. What's important at this time, however, is the amazing reality and truth that the Lord saved us from them all. He helped us through, and He provided others to carry us through. Hence, the psalmist's conclusion may be ours as well. I believed. Even when I spoke, I said, I am greatly afflicted. It's over now. Thanks be to God. He is faithful, and He showed His mercy. It's been an awesome interaction of our calling and God's answering, of our weakness and God's power, of our troubles and God's deliverances. The psalmist doesn't record the situations and instances in which God's power and salvation were shown, how God helped and saved. No, right in the midst of these reflections and meditations, the psalmist folds his hands and bends his knees, and in silence he prays, "What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me?" There is grace so great, so amazing, that it cannot be expressed in words, let be repaid in any way. The psalmist knows that he is precious to God. Every soul that loves Him and every life that is devoted to Him is precious in His eyes. Also Jake's and Rachel's and their children. Well, that too we may express with gratitude when we confess with the psalmist, I love the Lord. He loved the Lord deeply and was devoted to Him truly and desired to serve Him fully. At work and in the church, in His care and compassion for others, and in His dedication throughout the years of service, in word and deed, O Lord, truly, I am Your servant. He was precious to God, and it was a matter of God's honor and glory, of His faithfulness and steadfast love, that He saved him again and again. Yes, that too may be a true reality in our life, beloved. The fact which the psalmist expressed in the words, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. This applies first of all to the instances in which the Lord rescued the psalmist from danger and death. In His faithfulness, the Lord keeps and protects those who are precious to Him. That's of great comfort to us too, a humbling reality to realize that He knows our life, its situations of darkness and dangers, of snares of death and chains of trouble, of sins, of struggles and stumbling. And it's very encouraging for our life of faith to know that God is gracious, full of mercy, that He is the protector of the humble and the preserver of the weak. It still applies as well to those whom the Lord does not heal or rescue. Death won't be able to snatch His saints from His hands. The Lord is the God of life, the God of the resurrection. The death of His saints was so pressing to Him that He gave His only begotten Son to undo the power of death, to rob Satan of the power over death. Hence, precious in the sight of the Lord, then, is not only their rescue from the dangers of death, but by the Spirit of His Son of life, He also saves them from sin and death and renews them to eternal life, as He did with Jake. We too may share in that salvation. Today, therefore, we ask the question as well, what shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to us? We will lift up the cup of salvation. At this time, we praise the Lord and thank Him for His grace as He has shown it to us throughout our life. despite our sins and struggles with sin. We cannot repay the Lord in any other way than praise Him at this time for His amazing grace. With the psalmist, we will also use every opportunity for public worship, verse 14 and 18, to pay our vows to the Lord in the presence of His people. Hence, because the death of His saints is precious in God's sight, we will be here, we will be there every Lord's Day to call upon the name of the Lord, to devote our life to Him. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Then the home visits, beloved, will be a wonderful opportunity for the office bearers to hear about these fruits of faith, the fruit of the Spirit, to see what our response of faith is like, to seek fruits of gratitude to the Lord's gifts of grace and His work of salvation. Then we may also rejoice together in the faithfulness of the Lord to His promises and share in the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the assurance of the psalmist that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living, eternally, that is, in the New Jerusalem, the city with eternal life. Amen.